I need him. I need him every hour. I need him every minute of every hour. I've tried to, who here has tried to do it on your own? How miserable did we get? Amen. I got real miserable real quick. Amen. When we start looking at the world scene and the things that are going on around us right now, if we're not looking unto Jesus, we're looking unto failure. Amen. Today we're going to start again talking about the kingdom. We need a kingdom mindset, people.
Amen.
We need to understand what the kingdom is, who's in charge of the kingdom, and that you're invited. Amen.
Amen.
You too can be invited to the kingdom of the Most High God. So if there's going to entitle this, it would be back to the kingdom, like Back to the Future, back to the kingdom. We need to come back to the foundation of what Jesus taught.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus was on the world and he was teaching, I forgot to pray. There's the Holy Spirit for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so much. Lord, forgive me for running my mouth without permission. Lord, I come even now and I ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what needs to be known today. Lord, how we can take your word, apply it in our lives, and then walk in victory because of who you are, not because of what we've been. Lord, and I thank you and I praise you for that. I pray that the words over the next 2 hours, Lord, would be honoring and blessing and holy before you, Father God, that the hearts would be touched and truth would be illuminated in our lives in a real personal way. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name, amen.
Amen.
When Jesus taught in the scripture, he always, always taught about the kingdom. Have you noticed that? When it said Jesus made the multitude sit down, what was he teaching them about the kingdom? When Jesus sent out the people, his disciples, he said, go and teach them the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to show them the things that are to come and not to be so caught up in the things that are. Amen. Now remember the times that Jesus was teaching in. The Roman Empire was in charge of Jerusalem, of Israel, and they were ruling with a rod of iron. It was hard times. Not unlike Cuomo trying to rule New York. Amen?
Yeah.
But if we only focus on what the rulers of this world are doing, we're going to miss what our real kingdom is all about. Let me tell you something. This world is going to hell in a handbasket, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Amen? About the world. You know what you can do? Is you get focused on the kingdom.
Amen.
You get focused on the kingdom. Knowing, as Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, if this were my kingdom, my people would fight. But this ain't my kingdom. Amen? This is not the end of all ends. There's a kingdom coming.
Amen.
Amen? There's a kingdom coming, and you're invited to it. And if you haven't been invited to it, I pray that the Holy Spirit would call your name today.
Amen.
Today,
amen.
Because you can't come without an invitation.
Right.
Oh, man. Praise God for that. I didn't even think of it until just now. How can you go to a fancy party? Do you think I could just walk in at one of those fancy hootie-dootie parties, you know, and I just walk in? Who are you? My name is Curtis Fitz. Let me in. No. No, if you got a piece of paper that says that you're invited, to the fancy hootie-tootie party, right? You can go there and say, well, who are you? My name's Curtis. They say, I don't care. Where's your invitation? And you know what you can show them when you get to heaven, when you get to the big party? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Here, open your book. I have a reservation. All right? It was written in the blood of Jesus Christ. It was written for the time such as this. And I have made it from where I was to where I need to be. And we need to make sure our name is in the book. And God is sending an invitation to us, to the world today. In the middle of this mess, Jesus is still inviting people to know him, the one true God. He's still inviting people to that marriage supper of the Lamb. He's still asking people to come out of their sin and into his righteousness. I'll get to my notes in a minute. The time is coming. Amen? The time is coming. Today is the day for salvation for you. Amen? And if you have been saved and you ain't walking right with Jesus Christ, you got something that's preventing you from desiring him fully, stop.
Amen.
Go back and read the fine print of the information, of the ticket, of the invite.
Amen.
Okay? That there's coming a day that it's going to, you need to stop. If you're doing something against God, it's easy. Stop! Okay? Just stop.
Amen.
Okay? And you know that you can stop. You can stop doing those things that God disapproves of. You know how? Through the empowering and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Of God. He gives you He gives you everything you need. Amen. He loves you that way. Jesus was always focused on the kingdom when he taught. He sent out his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And it says that he, Jesus, called his disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. What did Jesus send them to preach?
The kingdom.
The kingdom. Amen? When was the last time in our witnessing outgoing, when we go out to witness, when we're going out passing tracts, when we're going out telling people about Jesus, do we really tell them about the kingdom of God? We tell them about sin. We tell them about the forgiveness of the Savior. We tell them about salvation. But Jesus didn't say teach them none of that, did he? What did he say teach them? The kingdom. So how important is it for us to know what the kingdom is?
Amen.
All right? If I'm going to tell somebody, if I'm going to go out and have the power, the authority from the Holy Ghost to cast out demons, right? I was about ready to get all in the flesh because I was going to go contrary to the Word of God. You've got to stop yourself every once in a while. Do you know if God sends you out to cast out demons, you're able to cast out demons?
Yes.
All right? Now, God hasn't sent me out to cast out demons. All right? He hasn't told me that, to go into a place that's demon. But if I was ever there and the Holy Spirit was on me, I would have the authority and the ability to do that. So don't go out demon hunting on your own. All right? Because they will put a whoop on you. Woo, son. And you know, so don't go picking a fight. Right? But if God sends you to do that, you do that. And so that's where I was. I didn't want to get all charismatic on you. Right? I want to keep this in the scripture, okay? And he sent them out to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. And then Jesus explains how to prepare for that. He tells them in Matthew to take nothing for your journey. Matthew 10:7 says, as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So take nothing extra with you. When you go witnessing and teaching people, you don't bring your checkbook. You know, don't drive up in your brand new car. See, look at how Jesus blessed me. Look at this. Now, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have wealth and health and prosperity. Look, you'll have all these changes of clothes. If you follow Jesus, he's going to bless you. Jesus just loves you, and he wants to give you all the things of the world.
Hey.
Do you know that that's not true? Jesus doesn't want you to have nothing of this world. You know why? Everything in this world is corrupt. You know what he wants to give you? Something better.
Yes.
He wants to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom of God. He wants for you to know that there is a place that he's prepared for you. John 14 says, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again and I will call you to me. Right? He has spent 2,000 years since the cross preparing a place for his bride, for his people, for the church. And it's not here. It's not in D.C., it's not in New York, it's not in Arizona, it's not in Mississippi, not in Alabama, but that's really close. I'm sorry. But you see, it's not none of those places. God has prepared us a place, and it is the kingdom, a place where we would be present with him. But when we go and preach, we need to say that the kingdom of God is at hand. The righteousness of God is at hand. The holiness of God is at hand. The love of God is near you. It's close to you. The Word of God wants to infest your life with the holiness of God. Amen? Tell them about the things that were promised. You know there's great promises in the kingdom that you cannot have here?
Amen.
There, in the kingdom, there will be no more sin.
Thank God.
Amen. No more sin. I cannot wrap my mind around waking up one day and not have a sin nature. Right? But there's coming a day, if I am in Christ Jesus, that I will wake up in the very presence of the Most High God. And when I am there, there will be no more sin in me. Amen? Woo! Praise God! That's chatting, folks. That's good news.
Amen.
And we need to tell people that although you're a sinner, God has righteousness for you. Although you're lost and condemned right now because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has a place for you that's holy and set apart.
Yes.
And if you will just take the invitation when God gives it to you. So when does God give it to you? All day, every day.
Bless him, yes.
All day, every day. All day, every day. God is continually seeking that which is lost. He is continually looking into the world, seeking the souls that are hungering for Him. Right? And God puts that hunger in you.
That's right.
Who here thinks that there's something better than the world? Amen. Praise God. Because look at this world. Even if I had the very best that this world has to offer, what's that new thing that they keep saying today about that? My best life now. Right? Has anyone heard that saying, that thing? I want my best life now. Well, wait a second. If you had the very best of this world that it could provide you, all right, you're eating caviar off of gold spoons, right? And you got the best anything that this world could have to offer to you, and you lose your very soul. What good was it? Right? You missed the kingdom. Yeah, you got everything. You had the best life right now. Boy, you rode the fastest bicycle. You had the shiniest motorcycle. You had snowmobiles and sport cars and fancy houses and manicured lawns and big boulders with your name on it. Big deal. Big deal. You had a subdivision named after your family's name. Zip-fitty-doo-dah. All right? It doesn't matter because you're not going to live forever.
Amen. Right.
Here, in this body, there's a kingdom where you will live forever. And that kingdom, or actually, there's two kingdoms where you'll live forever. All right? We need to understand that too. There's a kingdom of heaven, and there's a kingdom of hell.
Right.
Right? And if you're in Christ Jesus, then you have a promise of the kingdom of the presence of God. Yes. Heaven, in embodiment in you.
Yeah.
But if you don't trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you don't surrender to Him, guess what you have? The promise of condemnation.
Yes.
Folks, and Jesus doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell.
No.
He came to seek and save the lost. He came to show them of the righteous kingdom that is awaiting anybody who can accept it, who will accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But often we're so consumed with the here and now. We're
Amen.
So consumed with the problems of today. Mm-hmm. We're so consumed with who's president, or we're so consumed with who has the most of this. You know, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And so what? Well, like I said, if you have the best that this world can offer, big deal.
Right.
I think some of the most miserable people are the people who have the most stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen? It's crazy how we get that mindset, you know, I got to be happy now. Now, I would rather have a little more discomfort now and have the promise of heaven than have all the comforts of this world and the surety of hell.
Yeah.
You know? Because it is a surety of hell. Jesus said it's easier for a rich man or a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven.
Amen.
And now, of course, he's talking about a gate that you go into a town that's real short. But I think you can actually put it as a sewing needle, too. Okay, you ever try to put a camel through a sewing needle? It's Monday, it's hump day. You try to put that camel through the eye. It's a real, you got to liquefy that baby, right, to get him to go through. In Jesus' time, there were short gates, right, and so a camel would have to get on his knees and crawl to get through that. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult for those who are only focused on the world, this kingdom, that's right here, to actually accept and to relax inside of the kingdom that's promised to us.
Right, right.
So to get the right focus. When we're witnessing to people, instead of going right to the throat, right, start telling them about the rewards that they have or that they possibly can have. That's why Jesus told his disciples to go and teach the kingdom. He told them that in all of the Gospels. In Matthew 4:17, he says, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Mark is recording the same, or an account in 1 verses 14 and 15, after John was in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. 15, saying that the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. All right, the gospel. Now, we understand the gospel is Jesus' death and his resurrection. His death He died according to the Scriptures, and he rose again according to the Scriptures. That's good news.
Amen.
But do you know that there's a not a different good news, but one that runs hand in hand with that? If you believe that Jesus died for your sin and rose again, and you call him and he is your Lord, then you have a good news of the kingdom of heaven. Right? You got a good news that God is in you, is with you, and no matter what happens on this earth, he's got you.
Amen.
He doesn't just have your back. He has all of you.
Amen.
Right? And all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called for his purposes. Right? So if you're living in something right now and it does not feel good, ask yourself, do I love God and am I called for his purpose? But this doesn't feel good. It doesn't matter how it feels.
Right.
All right? Your feelings have nothing to do with the reality of the kingdom of heaven that is in you. Right? So you may not have the richest thing. You may not have the fanciest stuff. You may not have any of the luxuries of this life. If you've got Jesus, you've got more than all of that.
Amen.
Amen? Because there's a kingdom. There's a place. There's a time that the body of Christ will sit at the table with Christ, and we will eat of the hidden manna from Christ. Amen? There's coming a time that we're going to be with him in that place, and today could be the day that your name gets sealed. The invitation is right handy.
That's right.
Right? The invite to come and to be, to come, you're invited. You can come to the wedding supper of the Lamb. You can be there if you want it. Question is, do you want it?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm with you. Well, Jesus also says, but we need to do something first. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. All right, and before he's talking about the kingdom of God, let me go to Luke chapter 12. I like it in Matthew, but I like it in Luke 2. It's the same spot in Scripture, 22. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter there. Because I was reading it, and I said, that isn't what it says. And have you ever done that? Opened up and been on the wrong page? Yeah, it happens. And he said to his disciples, speaking of Jesus, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, neither of your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit. All right, if you're worried about can you get taller, I wish I could get taller by worrying. But actually, worrying pushes you down. But anyhow,
that's right.
Consider the lilies, how they grow in verse 27. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be double-minded. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father in heaven knoweth that ye have need of these. All right? So what did it tell you right there? Don't worry about all this stuff of the world.
Right.
God already knows that you need clothing.
Yeah.
Listen, and folks, if you ever saw me without my clothes, you'd say, that boy needs some clothes. Right? He knows you have need of those things. He knows that you have need of food, and he knows you have need of water. He knows that you need shelter. He knows those things. But if that's all you're seeking, that's all that the lost people are seeking. And he tells us right after that in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek ye what are you supposed to be looking to?
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom of God.
Amen.
And all these other things will be taken care of.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't have to struggle for stuff. God has it in abundance for you. What he wants you to do is seek him, praise him. Seek him first. Look first to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have your best life now. I need my best life then. Because eternity is a lot longer than whatever time I have on this earth. Right? I'm only going to live here at the best 150 years. Yeah. Like, right? Because Nancy Pelosi, yeah. Oh, my mind. It's those facelifts, right? And you think you can stay younger by taking all the skin of your face and pulling it to the back of your head? And so they pull it to the back, all of a sudden you got a flesh bone back here. You know? So, anyhow. See where my mind goes. That's why I need the Holy Spirit to give me direction, because I'm really whacked. And so, anyhow, we need to be seeking God and Him first. We need to be seeking the kingdom and the gift of the kingdom. You know, it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yeah.
It does Him good to invite you in. He wants you to be part of Him. He wants you to be part of the kingdom. He wants it so bad because sin was separating us from the kingdom, from the place of paradise with Him. Sin, He sent it says His only begotten Son. And Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. But He was also God. He was 100% God, 100% man. And God came to take on sin. Why? Because I couldn't fight the fight.
Right.
He loved us so much that He sent the very best. He Himself became a man and dwelt among us to be tempted like us, and yet without sin, that we can be part of His glory. Right. That we can be part of the kingdom of God. Oh, God loves you so much that He wants you to have a part of that.
Amen.
He wants you to come. He has this place prepared for us.
Blessings.
Many are called, right? Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Mm-hmm. You know why only a few are chosen? Because so many people want their best now.
Yeah.
They want whatever this life can give them.
Yeah.
All right, and God says, all right, if that's what you want, you can have that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what good is it if you gain this whole world and yet lose your soul?
Right.
What profit is there if you gain everything that this world has to give, your best life now, if you get everything right now, if that's what you have, and you die and you don't have God?
Right.
You don't have the promise of the kingdom. You don't have the peace that goes beyond understanding.
Amen.
And so He calls so many. Many are called, but only few are chosen. That's Matthew 22, verse 14. Jesus taught that this, at the end of the... He taught this saying, this one thing that we talk about, many are called. At the end of the parable of the king, of the wedding feast, the parable of the kingdom of heaven. And so in Matthew 22... I could do it in note, but I got Matthew 22 written here. And so, Jesus starts a lot of His parables with this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, right? And so in Matthew 22, verse 1, He says, Jesus answered and spake unto them again many parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And He sent out His servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Look at what He does first. He sends out, He says, listen, come to me. Come to me. Come on, boy. Come here. I got something good. Here's a treat. Come to me. But they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come because they had too many other things to do. And so He goes on, He says, He sends first that they would not come. Verse 4 says, and again, He sent His servants, saying to them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my ox and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they made light of it. They joked about it. How many folks, when you're telling them about Jesus Christ, they joke about it?
Yeah.
You tell them about the love of God and they get mad about it. You tell them about the kingdom to come and they cannot accept it. They made light of it. And they went their way. One went to his farm, and another went to his merchants. And the remnant took his servants, and they treated him harshly. And I believe it's in Luke, and that's where I should be. It talks about these same guys. One says, I've got a piece of land. I got a farm. I would love to come, but I got a job to do. I'm too busy to come to the feast. I got other things to do. I got two oxen that have never been trained, and I got to train those oxen. I got my best life right now that I got to tend with. Right? There's things I got to do now. I can't come because I'm too busy to know you. I'm too busy to come to the cross. I'm too busy to accept what you did for me. I'm too busy. My life is too full. How many times do you hear that? I'd love to come, but man, I'm so busy. Man, good thing Jesus wasn't too busy to go to the cross for your sorry thing. You know? We should never be so busy to miss an invitation.
Amen.
I guarantee you, if President Trump sent you a personal invitation to a dinner at the White House, you would put your farm on the backside. And, or if you like Biden, if Biden sent you, I don't know why anybody would, but if Biden sent you an invitation or, I don't know, pick your man, thank you. Pick your man, whoever it is, your favorite singer, your favorite whatever. And they sent you an invitation to come sit down with them, but you had a job to do, you would take time off. Right? I need to be around Alice Cooper. Or whoever your kid is, right? It was banging in my head. I had to say the name. And I don't know why that one. He was a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. Then he came to Christ later in his life. He's a Christian now, preaches. Do you know that?
No.
Alice Cooper? Yeah. And so, anyhow, those who are too young to know who Alice Cooper is, don't worry about it. We're moving on, right? As school's out forever. And so we're called by Christ over and over and over. He gives us these opportunities.
Yeah.
And often we make light of it. Mm-hmm. Often we say, we're too busy. We have other things to do. The kingdom can wait. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? I've talked to so many people about Jesus Christ, about the kingdom of God. And they say, well, you know, I'd love to, but I got time. I'm a young person. I'm only in my 20s. Right, I got plenty of time.
Know not when day may bring forth.
There you go, brother. That's where I'm going. You don't know the hour. You don't know the day. You don't know what's going to happen. James tells us not to go to a certain country and say that we're going to stay for a certain time and do this and do that and make a profit. Because you don't know what tomorrow brings.
No.
I can't promise you your next breath. But I can promise you after your last breath, your fate is sealed. You don't have another chance. There is no purgatory. I cannot pray you out of hell. And I can't pray you into heaven. And I can't pray you out of heaven. Right? You'll live your life and you will go to the God who you served.
Amen.
Right? You will. You'll go to the God of this world, which is everlasting condemnation, the prince of the power of the air, and you will go to hell. That's where you're going to go.
Right.
If that's the God you choose when you die, that's where you're going. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Lord, for this. God sends no man to hell.
That's right.
You know that? He doesn't want to send anybody to hell so bad that he came in the form of Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, to die for the sin of mankind that we could have a way to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Narrow way. Right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through me, except through Jesus Christ. You can't get there without going through Him. So you might have your best life now. This ain't the end. We need to understand that this is not the all in all. This world that we live in, this air that we breathe, this stuff that we have, this isn't the end.
Amen.
There is an eternity.
Yes.
An eternity. Which is much longer than the years you spend on this earth.
Yes.
We need to know about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We need to know that it's very solid. There is no wishy-washiness in the kingdom of God. Either you are in or you are out. There is no middle ground. Oh, I wish that you would be warm or cold, but since you lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I wish, Jesus said, I wish that the church was either on fire or turned off. But since you think that you can walk both sides of the trail, You're no more than vomit to me. And that's what Jesus says. I think he's kind of serious about that, don't you? I think he's really serious about the kingdom of God and the things that are in the kingdom of God. And again, Jesus was so impressed about it, he always talked about the kingdom of God when he was talking to people. When he told his disciples, and it said right here, I read through them, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, that Jesus taught the kingdom of God. He began to preach the kingdom. Jesus never taught us how to walk on water. You know, he didn't teach us how to walk on water. He didn't say, do this and you can walk on water. He didn't teach us how to heal people.
No.
You know, didn't teach us that. He didn't teach us how to feed the multitudes. He said, listen, he fed the multitudes. He healed people. He walked on water. He didn't teach me how to do that.
Right.
He told me to seek the kingdom of God. He told me not to be worried about those things. He told me when I have the authority of God to go and pray for folks, lay hands on them, no doubt.
Yes.
Right? If you have a need, I got a jug of oil right up here. Da-da-da. I'll anoint you with oil. You know, that's what you want. You've got sickness. You need to be prayed for. We'll call the elders together. We'll anoint you with oil. But be careful when you ask to be anointed with oil, because the Bible only does it one way. And it dripped off the beard of Aaron. It wasn't a little splat on the forehead.
Yeah.
Right. He took an ephor, a liter of oil, and poured it on you. It's a whole quart. So careful. It's hard to get olive oil out of the carpet. We'll do it over there. No. See? It's here. It's dangerous in there. But God says he told us to seek the kingdom. He didn't tell us how to cast demons out. He told us to seek the kingdom of God. That was the utmost important things to Jesus. Now, all those other things were a byproduct of the kingdom of God. All right? They were a byproduct of the kingdom of God. Peter and James and John and Paul were able to cast out demons not because of anything special, except they knew where they were going. They knew the king and they knew the kingdom, and God allowed them to do that, right? That's how those things came out. Peter, because of faith, he was allowed to walk on the water until he looked around. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started sinking, right? Just that quick. We too, if we take our eyes off the kingdom, if we take our eyes off the holiness of God, if we take our eyes off the righteousness of God, if we take our eyes off the promise of God and focus on anything else, guess what we start doing?
Amen. Right.
Right? You start sinking. That was the swim. Anybody back in the 60s, remember that song, that move? And so anyhow. Yeah. Knowing that there is a for sure place for those. Well, for everybody, whether you believe in Jesus or not.
Yeah.
You know, that when you die, you're going to become more than just worm food. Mm-hmm. So many people believe that when I die, all I'm going to be done is dropped in a hole in the ground, and a tree is going to be planted over me, and I'm going to be part of the tree, and then I'm going to grow into the... Stop that. No, your body, yeah. From dust you were made, dust you shall return. No doubt. I think you're worth about 79 cents. You know, as far as just chemical makeup, that's what you're worth. But Jesus said that you're worth so much, I'll give the blood of my only begotten Son. Why? That you can have an audience in the kingdom of God with him. You know, that you can be able to be seated at the table of God. And as we continue in the scripture, and the remnant, they made light of it, and they went their way, one to his farm and the other to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servant, and they treated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, and he burned their cities. Then he said unto his servants, the wedding is ready. All right? But they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid them to the marriage. And so the servants went to the highways, and they gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. I like that. You don't got to get good to get an invitation. Right? Do you know that? Mm-hmm. You got to get the invitation before you can get good.
Amen.
Amen. So that we go out and we witness to people about the kingdom of God. Does it matter if they're a drug dealer or a drug addict?
No.
If they're really mean to other people, if they're really mean to you. You witness to the good and the bad. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care about that because you're lost and He's asking you to come in. He's telling you about the kingdom. You have a right to come in because I didn't get saved when I was good.
No.
You know? I didn't get saved because I was holy. God saved me when I was a worm, right? God saved you when you were a worm. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you.
Amen.
He didn't wait for you to get good to save you. He saved you right in the middle of your goo. Right? Right in the middle of your nastiness and your decrepitness and your backslidden, hateful heart. He loved you right there. Right? And because He loved you, He called you out. And by a miracle of God, you heard His voice.
Amen.
And you said, yes, God. Right? Yes, I need a Savior. Yes, I want the kingdom. You said, yes. And that's what saved you.
Yeah.
That's how you got saved. Your circumstances may have changed from mine, but the baseline is that you didn't know God. God called you. He illuminated you. He gave you a ticket to heaven, and you said, I'll take it.
Amen.
Amen. And that's how it happened. Because you could have had the same scenario and you said, no, I don't want it. And God will not force it down your throat.
Right. Right.
He's not going to slip it in your pocket as you walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, all right, you don't want it, you ain't going to have it.
Right.
I love you, but if you don't want the kingdom of heaven, to hell with you.
Yeah.
Really, I know it sounds harsh to say it that way. But when you boil it down to its simplest denominator, that's what it is. God died for the sin of the world that we could have a right understanding of Him, that we could have a seat in the kingdom with Him.
Yes.
And if we reject that invitation, we reject that Savior, we reject Him, then we are accepting the condemnation. Because God is just.
Amen.
And He will give you your just rewards.
Amen.
Right? He gives you what you want. As I said a little while ago, God sends no man to hell. Men choose hell over the kingdom. They choose their way over His way. And God, He says, all right, you want it that way? You can have it that way. You don't have to have it that way because I came to make a way. I came to give you a way that's right before me. And so the servants went to the highways and they gathered to them as many, this is verse 10 of chapter 22, as many as they found, both good and bad, to the wedding. And furnished it with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. All right, this brings some things to thought. He got into the wedding place. He got into what's the corral before you go into the big meal?
Vestibule.
Yeah, you got to the foyer. You know. So anyhow, the king comes over and starts looking over everybody. You got a ticket, you got a ticket, you got a ticket, you got a ticket, you got a ticket. You got a garment. You have the garment of Jesus Christ. You have the blood of God on you. And he comes to one that was invited, but he didn't accept what Jesus had done for him. And God sees the difference.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that is you can fool me. You know that? I can fool you. But we can't fool God.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 7, I believe it's 22, they say, Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will be entered, welcome into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will.
Amen.
Right? For many on that day will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And he talks about a list of things that
Amen.
They've done. Jesus didn't say that they didn't do any of those things. They preached, they taught, they made disciples. They did those things.
Amen.
God didn't say that they didn't do those things. But he said that they were workers of iniquity, and he never knew them. They were playing the church game.
Right.
They came to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They paid their tithe. Right? They did all of the churchy things. They knew. They went to Awana's and they memorized scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But they never applied the scriptures.
Right.
They never once really settled in to who Christ is. Right? They knew Him as Lord, but they didn't submit to Him as Lord. Right? They didn't trust Him completely and fully. And they thought they were saved.
Yeah.
Right? Like this guy in the wedding. He thought that he was invited. He thought that he did everything right.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's not only sad, it ought to scare you a little bit. Amen? You might be sitting there thinking that you're right with God and you're not right with God. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I said the prayer and I jumped through all the hoops, I took my communion, I got baptized at a certain time, I did this, I did that, I did the other. You did everything except allow God to be the Lord of your life.
Yeah.
You did everything but surrender to Him.
Right, right.
If you can do it all and still miss the kingdom, your works. It's not about works, lest any man should boast. It's not about what you do and what you don't do. It's about what He has done and what He's allowing you or calling you into. It's His work, not your work. It's His love, not your love. It's His righteousness, not your righteousness. It's all about God. It's what He loves you so much that He gives you this.
Amen.
Out of all the people that came in, there was one that came in that did not have the garment on.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't have it. And he fooled everybody in the party. Except the Father.
Right.
Except the King. He looked right through. He looked right through that person. He looked right through them and said, "You are not right. You've never trusted. You never really took on the invitation. You got a counterfeit." Oh, wow. Thank you, God. You got a counterfeit. You were listening to a false prophet and you believed what the false prophet said. Do you know that there's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven because they follow a certain religious group?
I know. Yeah, right.
My heart breaks. Jesus' heart breaks for them because He died for their sin and He made a way where there was no way. And instead of believing the truth of the only begotten Son, they take a false invitation.
Yeah.
I'm not a ticket scratcher. What are they? Lotto. I don't play the lotto. But I have heard of people that got fake lotto tickets. They look perfect. You scratch it off, it says you won $4 million or whatever. When you go to cash it in, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Because it was fake. A lot of people believe stuff that ain't real.
That's right. That's right.
And they think that they're right with God. They think that they've done the right thing. They think that they out of the little bit that they know, they think that they know enough.
Yeah.
And it's their thoughts, their words, their stuff. Haven't I been good enough to the Lord?
Yeah.
And they might even be better than most Christians that go. Jesus talked about this. There's a publican and a Pharisee that went to the, or scribe, wasn't it? Anyhow, a good guy and a bad guy go to the temple in prayer. One says, "Oh, thank you, Lord God, that I'm not like all these little people. I tithe, I do this, I do the other." And the publican, the tax man, the IRS agent, wouldn't even lift his eyes. And he pounded on his chest and said, "God, forgive me, a sinner."
Yeah.
Says only one of those cats got received forgiveness.
Right.
Only one of those was righteous.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, it wasn't one who says, "I'm better than all those folks."
No.
Look at what I do. What we do doesn't really matter to God because it's all about Him, what He did.
That's right.
Now, when you're His, there's a different lifestyle that He gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Do you know that? That when you really accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He gives you someone. Amen? Not something, someone. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Paracletus. He is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Alright? He is the Holy Spirit. And He comes and He indwells you. He makes His living, His place in you. And you know when He starts, the moment that He comes in? Cleaning house.
That's right.
Amen? He starts cleaning house. Because I tell you, I could not of my own defeat the demons that were inside of me.
That's
I could not defeat alcoholism or greed or the way that I thought. Right? But the Holy Spirit came in and He started showing me that He was more powerful than all these other demons. And as I confessed those before the Lord, I said, God, here's the demon, the sin of alcohol, not the sickness. Okay, let's get this straight. We talked about it Sunday. Alcoholism is not a sickness. It's
no.
Sin. Right? It blows my mind. People, because of Al-Anon and AA and all that kind of stuff, the 12-step programs, they say, well, it's a sickness. You can't help it.
Yeah.
You can help it. Stop going to the liquor store. Stop going to the bar. Stop drinking until you get drunk. Okay? Stop it. You can. God can do it in you.
That's right.
Right? I could not beat that on my own. Instead of taking a 12-step program, I took a 1-step program into Jesus Christ. And I gave that to Him. And He took it from me.
Right.
Amen? I am no longer a recovering alcoholic. I am a recovered, born-again saint of the Most High God.
Amen.
That has a ticket to the kingdom.
Praise
through
the
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And we have this idea, especially in America, calling these things, buttercupping them over.
Yes, right.
Folks, if you buttercup it over, you say it's just a sickness. You can't help it.
Yeah, really.
Oh, you can't help raping or murdering. You were born that way. You can't help stealing. It's a sickness. No, it ain't. It's sin.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's impossible with you to help that. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Those who stole should steal no more, but y'all ought to go get a job. Right? And work. Paraphrase. All right? And so, anyhow, He tells us that there's a real existence. In Matthew 12, in Matthew 12 alone, it says it's very important that we learn these principal kingdoms, or the kingdom principles, to understand these things. We must know that there is a real life after this existence.
Amen.
Amen. This is not the all in all. What the Matthew chapter 12, and actually Matthew 12 and 13 and 22, all of those parables about the kingdom of God tells you that there is something more than the right here and now. Because Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is life. Mark says the kingdom of God is life. It's the same place. It's not two different kingdoms. There is one kingdom that God is the God of.
Amen.
And you're invited to be part of that. Amen? And so, but we must understand that there's a real existence after this one that lasts a lot longer than this measly existence here. So you might have the best life that you can live today. Right? You might be the most comfortable, the fattest, the healthiest, the whatever. But I don't care if you run 75 miles uphill carrying a 50-pound sack on your back every day. There's coming a day you're going to breathe your last breath.
That's right.
And you're going to be one good-looking corpse. Right? Me, there, I plan on dying. They're going to have to build an extra high hip. You know? I'm going to be fat and lazy. No. See, there it is again. My flesh coming up. Because it doesn't matter. This life doesn't matter. Because I'm looking for the kingdom to come.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us how to pray, right? He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God coming on earth. How's that going to happen? Church. Us guys. We's guys. You's guys. Right? The kingdom of God is in us.
Amen.
Right? You know that?
Right.
It's not some high in the sky thing. Don't get me wrong. There's a kingdom up there. But there's a kingdom right here. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit inside of me. And that is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Right? You are the temple of the Most High God through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, live like it.
Right. Uh-huh.
Would they bring any unclean into the temple of God in Moses' day?
No.
Would they bring the blood of pigs?
No.
They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't bring any unholy thing.
No.
Even the high priest, I don't know if this is true, but I've always heard it, so I'm going to say it anyhow. The high priest would have a rope tied to his leg.
Yes.
And he would have bells on the end of his garment. So when he was in the Holy of Holies, and he was making prayer and intercession for the people, if he had sinned, God would wipe him out right then. And when they didn't hear the bells ringing on the garment, they had a rope tied to his leg that they could pull him out. I don't need no rope tied to my leg. I don't need that. I have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You, and if you're born again, you can have the Holy Spirit. And He's going to be the one that leads us into how much righteousness?
All
of it. How much truth? All of it. Into the kingdom. How are we getting there? Through the Holy Spirit. For with the Holy Spirit, you have been marked. You're marked with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Right? In Ephesians, I think that is chapter 2.
In my mind. Anyhow, I'm not going to go there because it's already 4:12.
Know this, we need to start learning about the kingdom again.
Right.
All right? Jesus, I think there's 22 parables in the Bible about the kingdom of heaven. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to open up the box. We're going to teach every single one of those kingdom principles. And then I'm going to see what you're going to do with it. Because it ain't so much me talking about it. It's what happens in your life.
Right.
What you do next will reveal what you believe about God.
Right.
Let me ask you, do you believe there's a kingdom?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe there's two kingdoms?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe you're going to go to one or the other?
Yes.
Amen. We got a good start. All right? We got a good start. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. I love you guys. I'm going to release you. Release it. Oh, Father, I thank you so much. Lord, I pray for this group of people, your church, Father. I ask even now that you would just anoint them with the knowledge of the Most High God. Father, get us excited about the kingdom of God. Get us excited about your truth, about the things that you've prepared for us from before the foundations of the world. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, Father, that if there's someone here today that has heard about the kingdom and doesn't really know it, that they would ask somebody.
Oh.
Or that they would open your word and
yes.
understand
yes.
that only a few go. Your, and that they could be part
yes.
of the elite.
Yes.
Lord, Father, and I ask that you would move over us and help us to hunger and thirst for that setting place of the table of righteousness with the Most
yes.
High God. We thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. That's awesome.